So today the title of the message is this: Who should be baptized? I want to talk about baptism today. I want to talk about that act we hear a lot of, and here's why it's significant. Everybody here has defining moments in your life. For some, it's when you get married. It was a defining moment that changed everything and going forward. For others, a defining moment may be the birth of a child. Say, wow, that just changed everything. What a thrill. For others, maybe it was a basketball game where you made the clutch shot or you were a part of a play, and it was a defining moment in the life of the team. So there's all kinds of defining moments. For others, maybe you were spared in an accident. I was talking to someone after the first service, and he was telling me how his car rolled over, and he was upside down in the vehicle when it came to a stop, and he was strapped in, but he was hanging upside down. It was a defining moment in his life that could have went the other way. So, defining moments. Baptism is a defining moment. And I want to talk about that today, why it's so important and why it's significant. Now, here's the big idea, the message. It's in your notes. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. That's it. In other words, a person who decides to take this step of baptism in response to Jesus' instruction and command is saying, you know what? I am going to say to the people around me, it's an outward sign of an inward change in my heart. And in Matthew chapter 28, and actually I'm going to see, Darlene, are one of the girls prepared to read that? All right, which one's going to read it? Abby. I'm going to have Abby come up right now. Should have weaved her in earlier, but she's going to read our text this morning. So, Abby, thank you. Matthew chapter 28, I believe it's 18 to 20.
And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Let's give her a hand. Thank you so much, Abby. So in the text that she read, Jesus' words this: go into all the world and make disciples of all nations and people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's significance in what baptism is as a defining moment in the life of a follower of Jesus. And so as we think about that today, I want to share five truths about baptism that apply to everybody. Now, you may have already been baptized. That's great. Maybe you're wondering if you should do it. Hopefully, this message will clarify that. Maybe you were baptized as a baby. I was when I was 2 weeks old, but when I got to be 21, you know, I got baptized for myself in a swimming pool. And so we're talking a baptism service 2 weeks from today. And so if any of this resonates with you, maybe it's a defining moment that God is calling you that step to take. So I'd like to share five truths about baptism. Number one, first thing is this: believing goes before baptism. This sense of belief precedes or always goes before the act of baptism. Read with me Acts 16, 29 to 30 in your notes. "The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then immediately, he and all his family were baptized." So Paul and Silas are in jail, and the jailer is the one in charge of keeping them there. God comes along, does an amazing miracle, and Paul and Silas can walk out. Now, the jailer is concerned, like, what's going on here? And he says, what must I do to be saved? In other words, God had done a deep work in his heart, and they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Circle the word believe. Believing always precedes the act of baptism. Now, notice in the couple of lines later, it says, you and your household, then immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, it's interesting. It all happened in one day. Now, one of the issues of the church, you know, we often have a long time from when a person believes to when they get baptized. It could be months or it could be years. We stretch it out too far. One of the downsides of not having a tank at the church is you can't do it on a regular basis, and that's a challenge. But the point is, baptism can happen after a person believes, even if it's the same day. It's a pretty neat story. Read with me Acts 8:34 in your notes. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave order to stop the chariot. They, both Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So Philip is on a desert road, dry and dusty. He comes upon an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot. The guy's reading from the Old Testament, and Philip says, do you know what you're reading? He didn't. And he explained to him about the good news of Jesus. Now, the guy had a faith experience. He believed. And you know what the next thing that happened was? He said, well, why shouldn't I be baptized? So immediately, the same day, the two were closely connected that the guy got baptized. In Acts 2:38, in your notes, it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Circle the word repent. Here's what it means. We change our mind about our lifestyle, about what we used to do. We turn from it. And we say, God, I want to live differently going forward. It was a moment of believing. Now, believing always goes before the act of baptism. So here's a quote. There we go. Baptism is faith in action. You know what happens? Once you believe, you then act on that belief because Jesus said you should be baptized. What happens? It's a defining moment in your life where you are saying, I've got the belief. I've got the change inside me. And the baptism experience is a marker moment in the life of believers. All right, so that's number one. Let's go to number two. The second thing about baptism is this. Faith saves us, not baptism. Faith gets us to heaven, not the act of baptism. Let me say this. Do you realize a person can be baptized in water, but still may not get to heaven? You know why? They don't have faith. They did the act of baptism, but faith saves us. Let's look at this next verse, Ephesians 2:8 to 10. Let's read it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Here's what Paul is saying. Faith is what rescues us. Faith is what connects us to the cross. Faith is what does it. It's the transaction of faith that creates a saving experience inside of us. And he says, I want you to understand that. Don't be tricked. It's not by works so that anybody can boast. It's all by faith. Now, The next passage is just one of my favorite illustration examples of this point. So it's about the thieves on the cross. Let's read it together. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." Visualize with me, Jesus is on the center cross. There are two other crosses, one on his right, one on his left. These are two convicted criminals. They have done outrageous things, and the sentencing of the day said they should die. One of the thieves was hard-hearted. And he looked at Christ and he says, "If you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself?" The other thief had a different attitude. He humbled himself and he turned to Christ and he said this. He says, "When you come into your kingdom, remember me." He had a different attitude. Now here's what happened. Probably the last hour or two before this guy dies, on the day of his death, he had a faith experience. And you know what the response of Jesus was? "This day you will be with me in paradise, in heaven." This day. Now here's the secret of the insight. The guy didn't have time to get baptized. Probably the last hour, maybe two of his life, he has a faith experience towards Christ and says, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." Now, it's amazing. You know, like I said, the guy didn't have time to get baptized, but he had faith because faith is what saves us. So in our thinking, understand the act of baptism does not guarantee us heaven. The act of faith does. And believing in faith always precedes baptism itself. Here's a few quotes. "Faith is living, daring, is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. Let me paraphrase that. You know what we're depending upon to get to heaven? Grace. 100%. It's a gift. It's not because of our works. We just have to receive it by faith. It is given to us as a gift. And so faith is all about a living, daring confidence in the grace of God. Because when we stand before him and he says, "Why should I let you into heaven?" We have an answer. I have faith in what Jesus did for me, and I'm believing his grace covers my sins. All right, here's another quote. "Faith is trusting God even when you don't understand his plan." You may be here today, and maybe you're in a season or in a situation or circumstance that is just beyond your ability to comprehend. You wondered how you got there. We all experience that. Faith is trusting God even when you don't understand. Maybe you're the person in that maze, and all you can see is a wall. You don't know how to get out. You don't know how you got into it. But faith is the secret that helps us get through it. And here's the last quote. "The situations that will stretch your faith the most will be those times when life falls apart and God is nowhere to be found." Rick Warren, here's what he's saying. It's like something can drop into our life and it's so devastating we can't figure it out, and we wonder where God's at. He's there, but here's what's happening. Your faith is being stretched. It's like a rubber band. It is being pulled in a whole nother level. And so faith. And this just went dead, did it? No, it's still going. Good. All right. So faith is our faith is stretched when we're in situations that really expand us. All right. Number three. Third thing is this. The water symbolically represents the washing of our sins and being raised to a new life. So when you think about baptism, the water itself represents washing. And then when we come up, it represents being raised to a new life. So read with me now, Romans 6:4 in your notes. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. See, the word buried. Here's what it means. It means to be totally covered, taken away, removed, it's neutralized, and it's just plain buried. It's out of sight. Now, I want you to think of your worst sin. And I want you to think of your faith in Christ, and it's being buried because you've confessed it and given it to God. It's the sense of identifying with Christ himself. We're buried with his death, and his death was for our sins. And so the washing of the water, we're buried with Christ when we go down. Okay, there's a flip side to this. Then we are raised to new life. We're raised up. Jesus rose from the dead the third day, and he's fully alive forevermore. So the going down under, we are identifying with Christ's death, that our sins are buried with him. They're just taken care of. We can release them. We can let go of them. We have to have faith. And then at the same time, we are raised to new life so that we become fully alive. One of my favorite quotes is by St. Ignatius, but let me do the next one. Here we go. This is something my mother Teresa, she says, put your sins in the chalice for the precious blood to wash away. One drop of Christ's blood is capable of washing away the sins of the world. In other words, the blood of Christ washes us. We're buried with him in his death. Now, here's the other quote by St. Ignatius in terms of being raised up. The glory of God is man fully alive? I got a question for you. Do you feel fully alive to life today? I mean, on the inside. Do we feel fully alive because God is most glorified when you and I, as his children, live a life that we're fully alive? Now, here's what happens. Life wears us down. We feel beat up. We're disappointed. We're hurt. We get stuck. And God's grace wants us to live in a way that we're fully alive on the inside. It's a battle at times. You got to work for it. You got to push for it. But when Christ was raised from the dead, he was fully alive, and that's the experience you experience as well. All right, let's go to number four. Point four, as far as an insight into baptism, is this. We personally identify with the highest authority in life. Read with me, Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. There's a lot of stuff going on in our world, in the U.S., in Ukraine, in Russia, Iran, in Israel, in the Gaza Strip. There's a lot of high-level people making decisions that impact the people in that country. I mean, that's just the way it is. Our president, the people above us, our leaders, people are making decisions all the time. And they have power to do certain things. I share all that to say this. There is a person who is higher than any earthly power. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. When we are baptized, when we give our lives to Christ through faith, we are connected to the one person who has the highest authority in rank of anybody else in their life. We're connected to him. There's a sense of union. There's a sense of identifying with him. We're merged together. The point is this. You and I want to be connected to that person. We do. I mean, think about it. There's stuff going on all over the world, and there's a lot of chaos and conflict and decisions being made. But you want to know the person who holds the keys to life and death, who's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and that's Jesus himself. He has the highest authority on earth, on heaven, and on earth. Here's a couple quotes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Here's the point. Entrust your life to the one who has the highest authority. If you're trying to sort something out in life, you're trying to get an answer to it, you're trying to make sense of it, trust your life to the one who reigns over it all, because he has the highest authority. And here's the other quote. Faith moves mountain, doubt creates them. Maybe you're here today and you're in the middle of something, and the biggest challenge is if we maintain a posture of doubt, it creates greater mountains. If we keep a posture of faith, faith can move our mountains. And God is calling you today to be a man or woman of faith in the midst of the struggle you might be going through. All right. And finally, number five. The fifth point about baptism is this. It's a command that, when obeyed, gives us a sense of completeness. Read with me Colossians 2:10 in your notes. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Baptism brings a sense of completeness to life. Now, I was baptized as a baby. Shared that, and I did it for myself as an adult. If you were baptized as a kid, but you've never been baptized as an adult, I would encourage you to take that step. The difference is your parents did it for you as a child, but you do it for yourself as an adult. And so the church allows for different kinds of baptism. We do immersion and pouring and sprinkling. Let me explain that. Immersion is where you go all the way under. However, because of health conditions or age, sometimes we do sprinkling or pouring on the side of a pool or somewhere, but it's an act of baptism nonetheless, and it's still the same thing. And so there are different accommodations that can be made. So the thrust of this message is, when you think about your own life, the baptism and the step you need to take, it's for people who believe. It's for people that have faith already in Christ. It's for people that want to take this step to believe that the washing represents the burial of sins and being raised to newness of life is when you come up. Number four, you identify with the highest authority in life, which is Jesus, the King of Kings, the Prince of the Kings of the earth. And then lastly, when you do that, when you obey, it gives you a sense of completeness. When you get to the other side of it, you just feel like, well, I did it. I feel good about it. That is the privilege of baptism. So as Jack mentioned, in a couple weeks, we're going to have the service at Kevin and Erica Charles's pool. If you've never been baptized, or you want to do it again, or you want to talk more, let him, Jack, or myself know. There's a sign-up sheet on the table. Just go ahead and put your name down. We can talk more. It's a call. That's a privilege that when we take that step, here's what happens. It's a defining moment. It just does something to us and for us and in us when we take that step. And here's the final slide. There we go. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward faith. That's what it is. That's it. So the message this morning, hey, have you had the defining moment of baptism? If not, you're invited to share that maybe in a couple weeks, and we can talk more after the service. And I realized I'd forgot the children's moment. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have Rebecca come. Where's she at? Jan, I mean. Jen. Oh, did she go out? She'll be right back. All right. And so let's pray together. All right. So the most important thing, heads bowed and eyes closed, is to have the faith that rescues. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You can pray it after me silently, either to commit to it for the first time or to renew it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me and I'm of value to you. Forgive me for trying to do life my way. Forgive me for my sins, for leaving you off my radar. By faith, I believe that Jesus died and rose again. He's alive forevermore. And so right now, by faith, I invite Jesus Christ into my life. I open my heart and invite him in. Or I just recommit my life to him. He's already there, but I re-up it. I just make a renewed commitment today to live for you. And Father, I pray that each person here will have a sense of completeness when they put their faith in Christ, but also when they take the step to be obedient to baptism, which closes the loop as a defining moment in our lives. And Lord, we're just blessed because we've done it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.